us are allowing what we're going through to stop you from what you're going to. And many of us, we are so caught up in what we are going through. We are caught up with the debt and the problems and the issues and all the things that we are going through that it is keeping you from getting to the things that you're going through. You got to understand that Satan is not going to just let you get to your destiny. He is not going to let you just get to fulfill what God has put you on the earth to do. He's going to challenge you every point. Are you hearing me today? And many of us are allowing what we are going through to stop us, to hinder us, to delay us, to actually destroy us for what we are going to. Do you understand that God has a great future for you? Do you understand that God has a great future for you? Do you understand that God has a great future for you? And you are going to a better tomorrow. You're going to a higher tomorrow. God, today, the Bible says, the path of the righteous is as a shining light that gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Come on, somebody say amen. So it means that my tomorrow is better than my today. But I cannot get to my tomorrow until I overcome what I'm going through and not let it stop me from what I'm going to. I wish I had some praises this morning. I am never get to my tomorrows until I begin to not allow what I'm going through stop me from what I'm going to. Could somebody say amen? You got to understand that everybody is going through something. The Bible says many are the affliction of the righteous. Come and say many. It means if you have trouble today, you can have some tomorrow. You have some next week. You might have some next year. Listen to me. You got to come to the place that you need to understand you are a soldier. You're always on the battlefield. You're always under attack, or you're always coming out of under attack. But you are well able to overcome. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than anything the devil can come against you with. The Bible says, he that is born of God overcometh the world. You need to, why would you have to overcome the world if the world is not going to bring challenges to you? Could he say amen? So you need to understand, I cannot allow what I am going through to stop me from what I'm going to. We need to understand that this Christian life, listen to me, you're going to experience hurt. You're going to experience things to distract you, things to wound you, things to make you feel like you are worth nothing. You're going to experience things that want you to quit. You're going to experience things that want you to commit suicide. We just had a pastor recently in his early 30s that committed suicide. This life will throw things against you that will try to break you and stop you and hinder you and destroy you from getting to your future. But I declare in the name of Jesus that no weapon that is formed, no weapon that is formed against you, I say it again, no weapon that is formed, no weapon, no situation, no problem, no attack that is formed against you this morning shall prosper. I declare you are greater than your problem. You are greater than your obstacle. You are greater than the hindrances. You are able to leap through a wall and run through a troop. You are a champion in the things of God. Could you say amen? You are more than a conqueror. You will leap over a wall. You will run through a troop. I don't care if the devil put a mountain before you. You will speak to that mountain and say, be thou removed. Somebody say amen. If you put the ocean before you, you will part the ocean and come on the other side. Do you know who lives in you? The greater one lives in you. Tell somebody, the greater one lives in me. I know some of you need a tractor trailer to move you, but I want to let you know those of you that has easily touched and easily spoken to, and God can move your heart. You need to get excited about this is the lowest day of your life, that you are about to climb the mountain of the Lord, and God is about to change your situation. He's about to elevate you. The devil is a liar. Devil, I know you're trying to hold me down, but I'm going up. I am going higher. I am rising. I am being elevated because I know who is with me. You were not born for the bottom. You was born for the top. Tell your neighbor, I was born for the top. If your neighbor not talking, find a new neighbor. Tell him, I was born for the top. I was born to live in the penthouse. I am not living in the basement of life. I may live in the basement physically, but emotionally and mentally, I will not live in the basement. I was not designed to live in a low place. I'm an eagle. Could he tell somebody I'm an eagle? I live in the cleft of the rock. I live on high levels. I saw in the things of God. So we need to understand as Christians, listen to me, you're going to experience a whole lot of things coming against you. They're going to try to hurt you. They're going to try to distract you. They're going to try to wound you. They're going to make you feel like you're not what now. They're going to try to destroy you. You're going to get up with back pains, ache in your head. You get up feeling depressed and down. But you're going to shake it off. Say, shake it off. You got to shake it off. You got to learn to run into the presence of the living God. You got to run to your God and let him shake it off of you. You got to say, God, you are my refuge. You are my present help in time of need. You are my shelter, Father. Lord, what I'm going through is trying to keep me from what I'm going to. But I'm not staying on this level. I'm going to what you have for me. Lord, I declare, Father, I don't care if the devil bring all of his hosts against me. I am going forward. Could somebody shout hallelujah? I will not allow the iron to get into my blood and contaminate me. I'm not going to allow what I'm going through, the hardness of life, the hardness of life. Yes, life is hard. It feels like iron, but it's not going to give me tetanus. It's not going to poison my inside. It's not going to get into my blood. Could you say amen? Yes, you might fail. Yes, you might fall short. But don't let that thing get into your blood. You need to understand the devil wants to stop you. He wants to stop you walking with God. He wants to make you feel walking with God is of no avail. He wants to stop you from walking in love. You say, I walk in love so much, man, and people treat me like I'm a doormat. I'm just going to cuss everybody or to give them the finger, and I don't want nobody close to me. Listen, that's what he wants. He wants what you're going through to stop you from what you're going to. He wants the iron of life to get into your system and paralyze you and poison you that you will never go forward. Come on. So he wants you to stop walking with God. He wants you to stop walking in love. He wants you to stop being faithful to God or people. Come on, somebody say amen. Elabo Shanda, when the devil brings an attack against you, he's strategic. He's not playing chess. He's not playing checkers. He's playing chess. He's strategic. Every move of the devil, he's strategic. I did this because I have another plan 2 months from now that is going to trigger. And you need to understand, if he's playing chess, you better be a better chess player. I'm going to rejoice ahead of time, because when I give him praise, 2 weeks later, he's going to show up. He might show up today, but I'm going to praise him in advance, devil. I'm going to move this here in advance. I'm going to lift my hands in advance. I'm going to shout in advance. I'm going to praise in advance, because when I praise, God will be raised up in my situation. So don't allow what you're going through to stop you from what you're going to. Don't allow the iron. Don't allow the iron. Tell somebody, don't allow the iron to get into your blood. He wants to stop you from being faithful. He wants to stop you from being faithful to church service. I've been going to church all these weeks. Nothing changed. He wants to begin to make you focus on the negative. Focus on the minute. Focus on the things that is insignificant. You don't even understand how many times God saved your life. You don't understand how many plans the devil had against you and God snatched you out. You don't even understand the things that God has blessed you with. You don't understand they were going to fire you and God changed the mind of your boss. You don't understand the devil's trying to kill your kids and God came and snatched them out. But the devil wants you to focus on the little insignificant, minute things that you are going through and say, if I was a real, if God was with me, this would not be happening. I want to let you know, God has delivered you and you need to praise him even from the things you don't even know. There are things that you don't know that God has done for you. And I will praise him for the things that I know. But I will praise him also for the things that I don't know. I'll praise him for what he has done. And I'll praise him for what I didn't know he has done. Because I know he did something. Could somebody say amen? Oh, the devil don't want you to go to church. He don't want you to go to church. He wants you to say, what's the sense going to church when I'm going through all that I'm going through? I want to go to church, but I'm discouraged. I want to go to church, but my car don't work. The same car used to go to church. How God can let somebody run into it. The same car used to praise God. How God can allow this to happen. How God can allow that to happen. It's the trick of the enemy. He wants you to focus. He wants you to focus. He wants you to focus on what you're going through. There is more in your future than you had in your past. Could he say amen? He want the devil want to tell you it makes no sense giving and tithing. I've been tithing for so long. I'm still broke. I'm still tithing for so long. And it seems like my money is still funny. It seems like I'm been giving and my money is not raising. And the devil want to make you feel that your tithing don't work and your giving don't work. But I want to let you know you don't understand the financial issues that was headed to your life. And the Bible said when you tithe, I will, listen to me, I will stop the devourer. You think you got problems. You stop tithing. You stop giving. And you will see the devourer come and cause you so much financial problem that you will be shocked your life was so good. Are you with me today? So he wants you to focus on what you're going through to keep you from what you're going through. If you're a tither, the Bible says, you are on your way to a level that the Bible says that I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out. Tell somebody, I'm on my way. Oh, I don't believe you this morning. You see, I've been spending time with God. I'm excited. I don't know who you've been spending time with, but I want to let you know if you believe this, there's a response to believers. There's a response to when you believe something. You didn't just sit on passively. You begin to get excited. When somebody's, when your child stand up and say something on your behalf, you sanction it. You sanction it. You respond. And I want to let you know, you are on your way. You are on your way. Say, you are on your way. Say, I'm on my way. To the level of the Bible says that you will not have room to receive it. The Bible says, I will open not. He says, say, the Lord, I will not. I will open up the windows of heaven. You got to get ready for the windows being open. Could somebody say amen? Tell your neighbor today, I'm getting ready for my windows to be open. I'm getting ready for my windows. My windows. I've been tithing. The devil trying to stop me from tithing and giving because he don't want me to get to the level where God open up his windows and begin to pour me out a blessing that I have no room enough to receive. Come on. Could somebody say amen? Could you say amen like you mean it? That's why the devil trying to attack you and tell you, no, man, you shouldn't give. You shouldn't tithe. All you tithe for the church and the preacher. I don't need your money. You need the seed from your. You need the harvest of your money. God has been good to me. Oh, my God, don't let the devil stop you. And he wants to stop you from walking in faith. He want to say to you, what is it worth? Why is it profit you walking in faith? Walking in faith don't work. You confess, you decree, you declare, and nothing changed. He is a big liar. Pastor Kerry, have a seat over here, sir. You know what, man? He is a liar. Say he's a liar. And he wants you to believe that faith don't work because he's afraid of your faith growing. Come on. Paul went to the church and he said, I am so happy that your faith growing exceedingly. Can he say exceedingly? And the devil do not want your faith to grow. He do not want you to operate in faith. He wants you to operate in fear. He wants you to operate in emotions. He wants you to operate in feelings. Because when you are operating in faith, you are releasing a force. You are releasing a force against the kingdom of darkness that is unstoppable. That no devil in hell could stop you. Could he say amen? Could you say amen? You enter into the realm of the supernatural through the vehicle of faith. Come on, somebody say amen. And Satan do not want you to begin to confess and decree and make actions of faith and do things by the prompting of God. He wants you to feel like it's not working. But I declare this morning, those of you that will shut the mouth of the devil and ignore the voice of Satan and will do it even more. Say even more. Whatever he's saying not to do, you better do opposite to what he is saying. Come on, somebody say amen. That's what Jesus' mother said to them at the wedding. He said, whatever my son says to do, do it, because increase and multiplication comes from the response of faith in doing what he tells you to do. Can somebody say amen? I was in my office praying this morning, and God told me to sell one of my cars. He said, call this person. I'm going to tell you right now. Call this person and tell him, pick any one of my cars. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to continue making the payments, because God says you need to sow it to this person. He said, I want you to release. Tell him, pick one and take it. And I said, oh, Jesus, he has something better for me. Are you hearing me today? I'm still paying on it, but God told me to sow it. Why will God tell you to sow? Because he has something better. Because miracles will not respond. Listen. God told me this last week. Listen, if you want to understand my miracles, find out my principles. Because miracles come through the doors of principles. Come on, somebody say amen. Oh, Yarabo Shanda, listen to me. Before you enter the level of the miraculous, you will have to go through the place where you're obeying principles that triggers the miraculous. Could somebody say amen? I love my boat cars. I enjoy them. But God told me, I called a person. He said, let me pray. I'll get back to you. Whatever one they want, I'm going to release it. Why? Because I understand I should not hold on to what God said, let go. Even though I got to pay for it after. Can somebody say amen? You see, faith will come up with all type of logical explanation why I should not. I mean, not faith, fear will come with all a logical explanation why I should not do it. But faith does not operate in the realm of the logic or the realm of the senses. Faith is hear what God says and do it. He said, Moses, stretch your hands over the water parted. Joshua, put your feet in the water. The water. It's faith. Jesus told Peter, go to the edge of the water, catch a fish, there'll be money in his mouth. Faith don't try to analyze. That's why people are so analytical, don't experience the miraculous. You got to trust him where you can't trace him. You got to trust him where you can't understand him. You got to trust him where you don't know how he's going to do it. You got to trust what he is saying to you and do it in spite of what your mind's saying. Come on, somebody say amen. You see, the devil don't want you to walk in faith. He wants what you're going through to stop you from what you're going to. He wants the iron, the hardness of life to be able to poison your inside and give you tetanus. But I declare today is the last day it will affect you that way. Oh, the devil was trying to tell you it's not worth to love your spouse, to make them. Listen to me. He will tell you, don't show your spouse love. Don't show your children love. They're not even worth it. They're a bunch of knuckleheads. But God is saying to you, don't allow what you're going through to stop you walking in love. Can somebody say amen? Are you hearing me today? Are you hearing me today? It's worth giving love to your children. It's love. And listen, man, I don't care what you're going through. Come on. You continue walking in the principles of God. Could somebody say amen? I know some of your children don't listen to you. Come on. You know what God says to me this week? Even the acorn, the oak tree is filled with acorn, nutcases. Nutcases. It's a case with a nut inside. And he says the oak tree still pushes genetic information to a nutcase. Because the oak tree believe, if I instruct you and I put my spirit in you, I don't care how hard you are, you won't become a forest. So there are times your kids are nutcases. There's time the situation is hard. But the word of God is able. The Bible said the word of God is like a hammer. The love of God, the Bible says, no man could resist. No, it conquers all. Could he say it conquers all? But we need to understand that you cannot allow what you're going through to stop you. I know you don't have much, but you got to keep on going. I know you don't have much, but you got to keep on saying. I know the devil coming against you, but you got to keep on doing what God told you to do. You want to understand, you got to fight. Life is a fight. And what you're fighting for it will begin to bless your tomorrow. And what you're not willing to fight for, you're not qualified to have. Everything that I have in the grace of God, yes, God by his grace has given to me after a serious fight. Everything that God has given to any man or woman of God, yes, he's given to them by their grace. The Bible says every good and perfect gift coming from the Lord, but after a very serious fight. After a very serious fight. Can somebody say amen? You know, my son Jordan went to school. He started college. And on the second day of college, a girl who don't know how to drive, his car was parked, running and crashed into his car. And he was walking to his car. All these people around his car, the girl running and crashed into his car. And he said, Dad, I know. The devil is trying to discourage me and stop me. I said, Jordan, this is letting you know you're studying the right career. You're pursuing the right thing. Because if the devil is not opposing you, you got to wonder, am I in the will of God? Ask somebody. I want to let you know, here the Bible says, listen, if you are not seeing giants in your land, maybe you are not in the promised land. Because if you are in the promised land, you will see giants. You will face opposition. The Bible said when he took them into the land, there was Amalekites, there was Hittites, Gittites, Hittites. They were all there in the land. And you have to fight them and push them out. Could he say amen? Could he say amen? Could you say amen? And the Bible says in the same Joshua 11:23, it says, and Joshua took the whole land. Say the whole land. Say the whole land. Everything that God has for you is not going to be given to you. You got to take it. I want you to take it this morning. Say, I receive it right now. I receive the manifestations of God. I receive everything that God has for me this morning. You got to take it by faith. Could he say amen? The Bible says, and Joshua took all the land, the whole land. Say the whole land. I don't want half a bread. I don't want just a lot. I don't want just an acre. I want all that God has for me. Could you say amen? I want all. Say I want all. I want everything that God has for me, and my heart is that you will have everything God has for you. Could somebody shout amen in this place? I want all my family saved. I want my nephew saved. I want my aunt saved. I want all my cousins saved. I want my co-workers saved. I want my boss saved. I want everybody in my family saved. Everybody else I go to, they shouldn't be encouraging me to smoke weed and to be able to use that hookah and be able to use all that crazy stuff and crazy music and be able to drink vodka and cranberry juice. They must be coming and saying, what did God say to you? Let me pray for you. Let me encourage you. God spoke to me. Are you hearing me today? Can somebody say amen? So I don't want half of my family saved. I want all of them saved. Oh, you're not getting excited about that. I don't want God to heal my knee and heal my foot. I want him to heal my whole body. I don't want him to just touch me. I want him to heal me. I want him to deliver me. I want him to heal my family. Nobody is sick and nobody shall die this year. Nobody in this church shall die this year. I want the whole land. Say the whole land. And Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to the division. Then the land rested. Rest. You will never enter into rest until after a fight. Some of us are trying to rest before we fight. The Bible says, man, only those that believe enter into rest. Only those that believe enter into rest. Are you hearing me today? Are you hearing me this morning? You got to understand in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1. Let's look at it. God has some stuff in your life that is about to change you. But you must have desire. Say desire. I must begin to have desire for what God has for me. What you don't desire, you don't deserve to have. Come on, somebody say amen. In 1 Corinthians 14, when the Bible says, follow after. Say follow after. Verses 1, follow after charity or pursue love. Follow after charity and desire. Say desire. Say desire. You got a desire. Why will God tell you desire if he want to give it to you? He said, if you don't desire it, I will not give it to you. If God will just give you everything for free, he will never tell you desire it. He said, desire spiritual gift. Do you know prosperity is a spiritual gift? Do you know healing is a spiritual gift? Come on. The gift of healing. Come on. Healing is a spiritual gift. Come on. You got to desire spiritual gift. Are you hearing me today? You got to understand that every change in your life starts with desire. Are you hearing me today? Listen to me. You got to have a spiritual desire. I desire to get closer to God. Can somebody say amen? I need to have a spiritual desire. Everybody who come to church here today, you need to have a spiritual desire. A desire to get closer to God, to be praying more, to know His voice, to know His word. Listen, are you hearing me today? To be a bigger giver and a bigger tither, to be a kingdom builder. Are you hearing me today? I want to be a kingdom builder. I want to be a soul winner. I want to be a prayer warrior. I want to be active in the church. I don't want to be just warm in the pew. I want to be an active church member. I don't want to be like a clock sitting on the wall that's not moving. I want to be the church. At least I can tell the time. I can shake somebody's hand. I can hug somebody. I can clean the bathroom. I can push the vacuum cleaner. I want to be active. I want to be active because when I'm active, I am positioned for anointing. Can somebody say amen? So I have a desire so I can get closer to God, to know His voice, to know His word, to be a bigger giver, to be a kingdom builder, to be a soul winner, to be a prayer warrior, to be an active church member, to be a pillar. Say a pillar. I don't want to be a statue, and I don't want to be an ornament. You know what happens to ornaments? We have ornaments. Ornaments are in the house, but you cannot take them outside. Are you with me today? They're ornaments that are made to be inside the house. A statue is like a pillar. You could put it in the yard. And even the storm, the rain, the snow hits it. It stands there and never move. You will never see its expression change, its disposition change. It stayed the same way like a Statue of Liberty. She's been there since 1786 or somewhere around there. And she's been in the same position. But yeah, some ornaments in the house, you got to keep them in the house. They're not ready for the outside weather. And some Christians are like ornaments in the house. You put them outside and they fade away. If they fall, they crack and you don't see them again. Are you hearing me today? They're so brittle. They're so soft. They're like made on a plaster Paris. You just touch them and they begin to lose color. They begin to fall apart. Yeah, anything happen to them, they fall, their head fall off, their hand fall off, their feet fall off, and you have to bury them. You don't see them again. Come on! But you gotta be a pillar! I wanna be a pillar! I don't wanna be an ornament. I don't wanna be an ornament. I wanna be a pillar. I wanna be a statue. I wanna come back 10 years later and I'm still there. 20 years, I've been beat down. I've been talked about. Dogs pee on my foot. I've been going through snow and winter. The wind beat me down, but I'm still there. Put me outside, I will stand strong. Put me inside, I stand strong. I don't just want to be a good Christian when I come to church, but when I go outside, I fall apart. I want to stand up under the life and all the pressures of life. Are you with me today? Are you with me today? So I want to be a pillar. I want to be a pastor. I want to be a prophet. I want to be a prophetess. I want to be an apostle. I want to be a missionary. I want to travel the world and preach the gospel. I don't just want to go on vacation. I want to preach when I go. Did somebody say amen? You know, I went on a cruise recently. I went to 5 countries, and then every country I went there to preach before. I said, thank you, Jesus. I had friends meet me on the dock. Take me to the home. Take me here. Take me there. And I said, God, it's so good to know that there are people in all these countries where I preach the gospel. Are you hearing me today? So I want to be a missionary. You got to have a desire. And then you must have a desire to have an emotional stability. An emotional desire, a desire that you will be emotionally stable. Not tossed to and fro by every situation. That you will be consistent and not emotional. Are you hearing me today? That your emotions will not lead you, but your emotions will serve you. Come on, somebody say amen. I need to have a desire that I will be emotionally stable. that I will not be tossed to and fro and be unstable, that I can receive nothing from the Lord. I want to be stable. I get offended quick. All of a sudden, somebody reject me. I fall apart. My emotions are so like the leaves on a branch. It just tossed back and forth. I want my emotions to be stable. One minute I want to be here. Next minute I want to be there. Next minute I want to be here. Anything happened has moved my emotions. My emotions is leading me. I cannot allow my emotions to lead me. The Bible said the heart is deceitful. I want to take charge of my emotions. Are you hearing me today? I want my emotions to serve me. When I'm ready to show emotions to God, it must serve me and express love and appreciate. Can somebody say amen? I want to bring my emotions under control and not out of control. I want to control my emotions. I get angry too quick. You got to sit there and say, I desire not to get angry quickly. My fuse is too short. I want to lengthen my fuse. It will take longer for me to get angry. I desire that I will not be easily discouraged. I desire I will not easily broken, easily bothered, easily deterred, easily depressed. Talk to your emotions. Desire. Say desire. Every change starts with a desire. And then the desire become audibly. You begin to speak it audible. You begin to speak your desire. And then you begin to pursue your desire. You need to have a desire to be physically healthy. You must have a physical desire. A desire to be healthy, free from sickness and disease, free from stress, free from aches and pains, free from tiredness, full of energy. Lord, I have a desire to be physically strong. Could you say amen? Then I have a mental desire, a desire to have a sound, clear, consistent mind, a mind that is full of good thoughts, a mindset that is conducive to prosperity and increase and largeness, a mindset that is easily to forgive, a mindset that shows mercy, a mindset that is quick to show love and favor. Could somebody say amen? You got to have these desires. Say desire. And then you need to have a social desire to be a person who empower others, who have friends and associates, who have divine connection, who have great connections with brothers and sisters in the Lord, that has exceptional connection with their father and their spiritual leaders. You must have these desires. The Bible said desire spiritual gifts, spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, mental, social desires. Are you with me today? And as you begin to have the desire, because without desire, you will never have something that you're willing to pursue. My son said you want to be a surgeon. You have 7 years. His desire is to be a surgeon, orthopedic surgeon. Desire is the beginning. Pursuit. Pursuit. Well, nothing stops me. Nothing must stop me. From emotionally, mentally, spiritually, socially, pursuing these things in my life, physically. Come on. Every day I get up, I pray about it, I talk about it, I pursue it. You must be willing to pursue what you desire. Are you hearing me today? Because what you're not willing to pursue, you're not ready to have. Are you hearing me today? Through faith, we pursue. Through faith pursuits, we enter into the supernatural, where we are equipped to do exploits in the realm of the spirit. Let's look at one of verses of scripture. I got to let you go home. You need to know that every step of faith will be faced with opposition. We feel like we can just get up the morning with a great idea, a great desire, and everything will just bow to you and say, go right ahead. Let's go right ahead. You look at that oak tree, he has been an acorn before. And it's through pressure, he is standing there strong. Are you? That's why he is not easily moved. You got to understand, without faith pursuit, you will never enter into the next level of blessing, favor, or increase. And every step of faith will be faced with opposition. Tell your neighbor, every step of faith will be faced with opposition. Let's look at Psalms 105:17, and then we're going to close right here. Give me 5 minutes. and I'll change your life. Psalms 105:17. This is God. Say, this is God. Children of Israel, they are going through a whole lot of pressure. But the pressure hasn't even started yet, but they don't know pressure is ahead for them. Do you understand that God always sends somebody ahead to handle your pressure? That's why you got to understand that your secret is wrapped up in a person who has gone ahead of you. Are you with me today? The Bible says, and God sent a man. Say, he sent a man. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send his spirit. He sent a man. Say, a man. That's why if you don't believe in a man and you don't respect men and you don't respect those that are sent to you, you will rob yourself from your next level. God sent him. He empowered him. He anointed him. He called him. But he was still oppressed. He was still hurt. He was still mistreated. He was sent to face the treatment that you wouldn't have to face. There's somebody who has gone ahead of you that has been put in a pit, lied on, put in prison, forgotten for you. And today, you are going through your stuff for somebody else who is coming. Are you hearing me today? So when God gives you a vision or give you a desire or you have a desire, every desire has to be activated with pursuit, faith pursuit, and every faith pursuit will come under opposition. And that's why you have to desire to be spiritually strong, physically strong, emotionally strong, mentally strong, and socially strong. Could he say amen? Because if you are not strong in these areas or you are not developing in these areas, you will not be able to fulfill your assignment or go to your next level. Between you and your next level is a devil. Come on. Between you and your next level is a devil that's saying you are not going further. And it's only through you pursuing, fighting, pushing, declaring, I am not staying on this level. I will not stay another day on this level. You are not going higher. You will have to pitch your tent and live on that level until you die. But I declare in the name of Jesus that today this is the lowest you will ever live, that you are rising to your next level. I don't care what comes up against you. You will leap over a wall. You will leap over a wall. You will rise up above it and possess what is yours. Could you say amen? I'm closing right here. The Bible says he sent a man before them. Say, before them. Oh, Ribosanda, even Joseph. Number one, he was sent by God, but he was also sold for a servant. Even though he was sent by God, God could send you and you could get a whole lot of opposition. He was sold. He was sold. He was sold. God sent him, but he was sold for a servant. He was sold for a slave. You talking about you going through problem? Oh, if God is with me, why I'm going through all of this? I'm tired of why I'm going through all of this. This is Joseph sent by God, and they made him a slave. The Bible says he was made as he was sold as a slave. And the second thing they did, they hurt his feet with fetters. Say, they hurt his feet. They try to restrict his walk. They try to restrict him. They try to paralyze him. They try to keep him from going forward. But Joseph said, you can tie my feet, but I'm still going forward. You can wrap me up in iron, but the iron not going to get into my blood. Joseph began to evangelize the whole prison, that the captain of the prison make him the head of the prison. And Joseph would walk around with an iron on his foot. That's why if they try to tie you up with iron, keep on walking. Keep on pushing. Keep on going forward with your iron. Don't let it get into your blood. The Bible says when they look at Joseph, they know he was different. He prophesied to the cupbearer, prophesied to the baker. The both of them forgot him, but he kept on moving. He kept on moving with his iron. The devil wants to stop you. He wants that iron to get into your flesh and into your blood and contaminate you. That's why if they reject you, keep on walking. They ostracize you, keep on walking. They begin to talk about you, keep on walking. Keep the iron on your feet. and wait for the Lord, for the Lord is about to loose you. He's about to set you free. He's about to break that iron off of your feet. He's about to liberate you and push you into your destiny. Can somebody say amen? Pastor, they reject me. I keep on walking. Pastor, they're talking about me. I keep on walking. Pastor, they're saying all about the bad things about me. Pastor, they're exploiting me. Pastor, they're taking advantage of me. But I keep on walking with the iron. I don't want to let them stop me. You can't stop me. Why? Because if I stay here, I will not get to my future. So even God could send you somewhere and they could hurt your feet. They could lay you in iron. They could give you things to do and give you no resources, no help. There's so many times I feel like my feet is laid in iron. God, I want to do this, but I don't have the money. Lord, I know how to do that, but I don't have the resources. And God said, use what you got. Go forward in spite of what you have. Are you hearing me today? Are you hearing me today? Are you hearing me today? I'm ending right here, verses 19. He was laid in iron until, say until. I want you to preach to the person next to you. Say until. Say today is my until. The day is my until. Today is the last day my feet will be in iron. Today is the last day my feet will be in shackles. The fetters are coming off today. The fetters are coming off today. You need to shake your feet. Shake those fetters off. Shake that iron off. You need to shake it off. Shake that fetters off. Today is your day of loosing. Today is your day of deliverance. Hey. Woo! Devil, I know you thought you got us. But today we're coming out. We shaking off this iron. You're not going to reject me, hold me back, have me emotional up and down. I'm coming out today. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Today your word came. Where your word came? I'm telling you what God said. I'm telling you what God said. God is saying to you today, you are loosed of this thing. The Bible said the word of the Lord tried him. It seemed like what God said to you was not happening. But God was wanting to see if you will go forward in spite of what you're going through. The Bible, as I was saying in the beginning, don't allow what you're going through to stop you from what you're going through. So God is saying, would they continue? Would they continue coming to church even though they're hurt? Would they continue coming to church even though they feel rejected? Would they be physically continue doing what I tell them to do even though they feel ostracized? I want to watch them. I'm watching them. The word of God is being tried. It's not happening as they say. I know God tell them, I'm going to bless you, but everything is going wrong. I know God tell them, I'm bless your children, but they're getting in more trouble. I seem like nothing is working as God said. Joseph, will you follow me in spite of what I told you was going to happen? I know I told you your brother's going to bow to you, but it don't look like nobody bowing to you. You are in chains, but Joseph held on. Say, he held on. The Bible says, until the time that his word came, the Lord, say the Lord, tried him. And the next thing the Bible says, the Lord tried him, and then the Lord sent and loosed him. Say he loosed him. I tell you right now, you're being loosed to your next level right now. You're being loosed to your next level. You don't believe that. If you believe that, you'll be shouting, man. If you believe that, listen, man. I don't care what level you're on today. You're going to the next. God will not give me a word for you if he's not about to do something. He will not give me a word if he's not about to do something. It is prophetic. It is prophetic. It is prophetic. Let me tell you what happens. I'm ready to close here. While Joseph is down in the prison dungeon, strapped with iron on his feet, till the iron was getting to his flesh, trying to get into his blood to give him tetanus and kill him, Joseph kept going. Serving in the till to make him the captain of the prison. And he kept doing. In all the restriction, all the pressure, all the iron, he kept going. Check this out. While Joseph is continuing to do what God called him to do in the prison, the Pharaoh had a dream in the palace. Joseph didn't know Pharaoh had a dream. Something you don't know, God is working on your behalf. But he kept going. Pharaoh had a dream. And he had his dream of all these things he saw. Seven skinny cattle, fat cattle, whatever it is he saw. And then the guy who was a cupbearer was right there. And the Bible says he forgot Joseph. And when the king sent for everybody to interpret, nobody could have. And he says, oh my God, I have done evil. Are you hearing me today? The cupbearer remembered he had done evil. In Genesis 41, verses 9, the cupbearer said, then spake the chief butler unto the Pharaoh. He was no longer just the cupbearer. Now he was the chief butler. He says, I don't remember my faults. I did wrong. I forget there's a guy dug in a jail. Who can interpret your dream? Are you hearing me today? So while you are going with your chains, as you do it with joy, as you don't let nothing stop you, as you're going to what God has called you to, while you're going through what the devil is throwing on you, that's why you can't let what you're going through stop you from what you're going to. Because while you're going to what you're going to, Pharaoh, God is speaking to the Pharaohs of your life. Pharaoh would have never promoted Joseph, but there was an intercessor already placed. The same way Joseph went ahead for the children of Israel, God sent the butler ahead into Pharaoh's palace. And the butler was right in place at the time that the manifestation of his word came to tell Pharaoh, you forgot there's a guy down in the prison. And when Pharaoh bring him out, listen, the Bible said he shaved his face. I'm going to talk about that next week. Stand to your feet. I'm done. It is time to take a shave. Hey. They sent for Joseph. They took the feathers off his feet. And Joseph said, hey, he told all the prisoner, I told y'all. You ever look at those, you ever look at like the Grammys or the Emmys, all that stuff? Those fake movies, those movie stars come here. I can see Joseph like, I told you I wasn't born for here. You know, you need to point at somebody and say, I told you, I'm coming out of here. You didn't believe me, right? I'm going to take a shave. He shaved and said, oh my God, I know I'm going to the top. The Bible says he shaved, he changed his clothes, and he walked in the presence of the king. He began to interpret the dream from the king. And he said, King, this is the interpretation of your dream. You need to find a man who will do this. And the king said, how could I look for a man? There's no man like you. Who the spirit of the gods is with. Wow! And in one day from the prison, he even changed his name. I declare your name is changing. No longer will they call you broke. No longer will they call you busted and disgusted. No longer will they talk about your weave. Hey, no longer will they talk about where you live. God is about to change your name. They'll call you bougie now. They'll call you rich. They'll call you honorable. They'll call you pastor and prophet. Your name is about to change.